Vamos pa' la playa, pa' curarte el alma. Cierra la pantalla, abre la medalla. Todo en el Caribe, viendo tu cintura.
It's Nick Nack.
Hello.
Welcome to That Bright Idea podcast. Today we've got a very special guest. Our plastic correspondent from episode 2 is back.
Hello.
She's very serious about the pod.
My debut of a co-host.
Yeah.
I'll be sending Riri my invoice.
Yeah, exactly. Rhiannon couldn't make it because she's a very busy gal, busy wild. Rushed off her feet.
No.
Nick Nack's got nothing on. So it was Nick Nack's birthday last week.
Oh, 21.
She's a youngster at heart.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you're a Leo.
Yes, I am.
A lion.
If you like.
So how do you feel about being on the pod?
Quite nervous, actually. Can't live up to Riri.
Yeah, she's been worrying about it all week, actually.
It's a lot to live up to. So, how's things in the life of Eco Ellie? I hear you're a celebrity now.
Oh, I am. This week, I was on a Zoom call with some algae people and I got recognised by Yash, a virtual friend, who recognised me as Eco Ellie.
Paparazzi will be after you next.
Yeah, exactly. Can't go anywhere now without being recognised. So, as a special birthday treat for Nicole, I'm letting her play my favourite game, which is Guess the Protein Content.
Ooh.
It's a high or lower game. Mm-hmm. Just as a disclaimer, I get all these values from a simple Google search. I know the values vary from different brands and different products, but we're just going with the basic Google search answers. So the protein content of egg is 13%. Brown bread, higher or lower?
Lower.
Wrong.
How?
It's actually equal. Oh. 13% as well, yeah.
Well, you didn't give me an option for the same.
Yeah, well, it was a little bit of a trick. Chickpeas.
Higher.
Correct! 19% according to a Google search. And the final one is tempeh.
Higher.
Actually, equal 19% as well.
So your game needs to be called higher, equal, or lower.
Yeah, I didn't realise actually. But yeah, to be honest, I think that's wrong. I think tempeh is higher in normal life.
Okay, I get 2 out of 3.
Yeah, okay, 2/3 correct. Well done. You are listening to an incredible podcast all about innovation and sustainability. Before you sit down and put all of your focus on us, don't forget to subscribe, like, or share from wherever you're listening from. This week's theme is all about how to make more sustainable food choices. And here we have some shocking facts from Nicole.
Thank you, Ellie, for that wonderful introduction. My first fact of the pod is that 26% of global greenhouse gas emissions are from food production and a third of all food produced in the world goes to waste.
Horrendous.
Yes, it's a lot. And to put this into context, about 25% of the world's fresh water supply is used to grow food that's actually never eaten. And the UK actually produces the highest amount of food waste in Europe.
That's a shocker as well. Why are we the worst?
Yeah. Well, about 13% of edible food and drink purchased by UK households is wasted. And if you think food accounts for 10 to 30% of a household's carbon footprint, so this is also contributing.
Yeah, to so it's emissions.
Yeah.
And food waste.
Yeah.
Dreadful.
Yes. Very unnecessary.
Yes, very. Thanks for those. They were great.
No problem.
Now we have a first-time caller, Jack, who's Welsh from Swansea, but living in London. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, Ellie and Nicole, it's Jack from London. So I'm a long-time listener, but first-time caller for the pod. So I know that this week you guys are talking about sustainable food choices, and I was wondering if you know of any bright ideas that are appearing in this space. Also, if you guys know any ways that you can reduce carbon footprint of what you eat, that would be great to hear. Thanks.
Wow, great questions from Jack. A lot for us to consider there. First of all, we do have a bright idea, actually, and it's all about being more sustainable in terms of coffee. I can't relate to this because I absolutely hate coffee, but our plastic correspondent here might have something to say about it.
Well, approximately in the UK, 7 million disposable coffee cups are used every day, which is equal to around 2.5 billion disposable coffee cups every year, which then are going to end up in a landfill or eventually into the ocean.
Sickening, isn't it?
Yes, and very damaging to the environment.
Yes.
So, also very unnecessary because we have a lot of sustainable ideas these days that we could use to combat this.
Yeah! So the example we want to talk about today is a company called BioBite. They're all about less waste, immediate recycling and being delicious. So they've created a coffee cup made out of wafer that's natural and vegan and has no wax or sugar coatings and is resistant to hot drinks for up to 45 minutes. It still stays crispy.
It's like an ice cream cone, but yes, for your coffee.
Exactly. And it can be leak-proof for up to 12 hours if you can resist eating it for that long.
You might want to drink it hot.
Yeah. Don't know why you'd leave it in there. But if you left it on the side by accident.
Yes. You could also then have a cold iced coffee.
Yeah.
Very interesting that you could do that and then eat your cup.
Yeah. It would be cool to see someone do it, wouldn't it?
Not sure how I would feel if I saw someone just eating a cup. Then it's one of these things we would get used to, wouldn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
Like we did with the ice cream cone.
I don't think it's something you coffee addicts could have every time you have a coffee, though.
No, it would be eating too much, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, then again, you have a coffee and a biscuit, so it's all in one now, isn't it?
To address Jack's other part of his question, how can we reduce our carbon footprint based on what we eat? So, first of all, as we mentioned in episode 7, Food for Thought, think about seasonality. If you buy food that's in season, then it's less likely to have been stored, which uses fridges and freezers, which obviously creates emissions. And also, if you eat food that's not in season, it could have been grown in a greenhouse, which will have had to been heated.
So that also leads on to about local the imported food, because in season food, fruit and vegetables, you could be buying locally.
Yeah.
And then out of season, it would be less emissions for you to buy imported food, but rather than heating up like a greenhouse here.
Oh, really? Like bananas?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and also talking about local, even when things are in season, for some reason, there's still a choice in shops. Like in Tesco's at the moment, you can buy Scottish strawberries or Spanish strawberries. Why would you buy the Spanish ones? They don't taste as nice and they're from further away.
Yeah. So while they're in season, you shop locally.
Yeah, take advantage of what we've got.
Yes, and if there's something you want out of season, to buy locally is a high emission.
Yeah, and also just looking at things, even if they're not from the UK, then choose the option that's from Europe rather than further afield, like New Zealand or something. Yeah. Another aspect you can consider is the type of food you're eating. So carbon emissions from plant-based foods are 10 to 50 times lower than most animal-based products. So obviously increasing the amount of fruit and vegetables in your diet is advantageous to your carbon footprint.
Yes, an important point, because we can all make a little bit of change in our diets.
Yeah, exactly.
A small change.
Exactly, because I feel like older generations aren't going to go vegan anytime soon because they're stuck in their ways.
But if they can reduce,
say, just having 2 or 3 veggie or vegan meals a week, it actually makes a big difference if everyone does it.
Yeah, reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yes, nice one. Another thing you can do is freeze your food. I used to do this quite a lot on kind of forgot for some reason. I think because I live somewhere that didn't have a freezer, but recently got into freezing things again. So froze some bananas that were going a bit brown the other day. Then I can make some nice cream with it. Or
banana bread.
Banana bread, yeah. You can also freeze things like wrapped bread, pitas, that don't last that long once you've opened the packet.
Yeah, I freeze my wraps. Because they go off quite quick.
Yeah, and crumpets, actually. I normally get through the crumpets, but something to consider if you don't eat them all at once.
Yeah, and your freezer goes a long way because you could batch cook some dinners.
Yeah, then you get a lucky surprise because you can't remember what any of them are.
Exactly, you just have to put it in the microwave and see what happens.
Another thing you can do is check out Peas Please on the Food Foundation website, which is a campaign to get everyone in the UK eating more veg. The link to that will be in our show notes.
And we also have to start eating the wonky ones.
Yeah.
They're important and don't deserve to be put in the bin.
I got wonky strawberries the other day.
Yeah, they're great. They taste the exact same.
Yeah. In this episode, I interview Heather, the founder of NOM, a company which is aiming to streamline the entire sustainable eating process. Listen up. Here it is. Do you struggle to know whether one food is more sustainable than another? Are you torn between recipes that contain meat or just veg, or those containing more exotic ingredients? I'm going to speak to Heather, the founder of NOM, who has created an app that gives information about the carbon footprint of recipes. Welcome to the podcast, Heather.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. To kick off, I've got a little game to find out a bit about you and show your true colours. This game is called NOM or VOM. The first one is broccoli. NOM or VOM?
VOM, actually.
I know. No, that's my favourite veg.
Really? Oh, God, what are we going to talk about?
The next one is celeriac. NOM or VOM?
NOM. Very underrated.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I agree with that. Sweet corn.
Oh, nom, for sure.
Oh, I'm vom on that.
Really? I feel like people are so divided on that.
And the last one is mushrooms.
Nom.
Yeah, same. Okay, we agree on that one.
I was going to say, I've had to take the mushrooms off my brother's plate for about 20 years, so definitely nom.
So to begin with, do you want to tell us a bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, so obviously my name's Heather. I am originally from Nottingham, from a place called Wollaton, and I have one older brother, and I went to University of Birmingham. I actually have a politics background, so I did international relations, and then I moved down to Bristol, and it is beautiful. so nice to be somewhere that's like less hectic, I feel, a little bit, you know, a little bit of a slower lifestyle, and like living along like among the river and things. It's very nice.
Cool. What made you move there?
To be honest with you, I graduated only last year. So I graduated, obviously, you know, well, haven't actually had a graduation yet because of COVID, but I was kind of left being a bit like, oh, I don't particularly want to just go home. I kind of want to, you know, be in another city. And I honestly just thought Bristol looked like a good place to live. Like, you know, like the music scene, I had a big food scene as well. And so I just thought I'd go for it down in Bristol.
Nice. So what is NOM? And how does it work?
Yeah, nice. So NOM essentially to me is streamlining the entire sustainable eating process. So for a topic that is so, people are so confused about and people are so perplexed about what sustainability actually is, we wanted to kind of democratize that topic and allow people to have the resources to make sustainable choices in their recipes, but also to kind of compare and contrast the kind of climate impact and sustainability of like cafes and restaurants as well. So we kind of just wanted to lump people with like a resource to make sustainable choices, rather than just kind of almost take people's word for it or kind of just go to restaurants that claim they're sustainable. But obviously, as we know, like a lot of greenwashing going on. So it would be nice for the consumer to actually have the education themselves.
Okay, so it's an app. So can I type in what I want to make?
Yeah, so essentially it's a recipe software first and foremost. So yeah, it's an app and a website. It's a recipe platform where you can search by recipe just like any other, but then we'll show you the nutritional value alongside the climate impact value. So you can kind of do it both. So we're the first recipe software to really offer that filtration at all. And then you can actually click through and order those recipes for collection or delivery at local marketplaces, so your local food store. So we kind of streamlined the whole process because one of the main kind of feedback that came back from interviews was that, people didn't want to go to 10 different places to buy the ingredients in a recipe that was seen as more sustainable. So yeah, we offer that for them, with some partners here in Bristol.
Okay, so say I type in lasagna into the app, I'll be able to sort it in order of sustainability.
Of climate impact, yeah, exactly that. And then you'd be able to kind of add it to a recipe box that you would pick up the next day, or, you know, if there's a stores near you, they do that.
Okay, but is the recipe actually there if I wanted to go to all the different shops to buy everything?
Of course, yeah, box it up for you, especially if some ingredients include certain seeds and things like that, that, you know, you would have to maybe like look in a few stores, you don't know who stocks it. So they almost create like, you know, like a HelloFresh Gusto type recipe box for you to make. So you can add like maybe 3 recipes for the week if you'd like, and it can work that way as well.
Oh, that's really cool. So how many people are you working with that are going to put these boxes together?
Yeah, so we have a few stores at the moment that we're kind of talking to in Bristol and figuring things out with to be on, because we need to pick certain like stores to come on at certain times, you know. So for our MVP that we're building at the minute, we kind of want to make sure that we're actually scalable. You know, there's only like 3 of us working here in Bristol on NOM at the moment, so we want to make sure that we kind of start off with 1, make sure that that's actually running well, then go up to 2, you know, go up to 3. But I mean, that's part of the collections side of the app. So under the collections part of the app, you can obviously see the collections of your favorite restaurants and stores, but you can also see the collections of food influencers and food bloggers, because we just find that that's another place where people don't want to read through lots of blogs if they're somebody who maybe isn't super into sustainably eating, they just want to make a bit of a change.
Yeah. How do you know the sustainability of each recipe?
Yeah, so we use My Emissions. We use their data, and they.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they. So they figure out the average kind of environmental impact with water usage and carbon production on average per country for each ingredient. And then what we do is obviously collate that together and present it to the user in a really easy way.
Nice. So I saw on your Instagram that it shows the average mileage that recipe adds up to.
Exactly.
And then also the carbon emissions.
Exactly. So in terms of mileage as well, using My Emissions as a partnership, we can even work individually with stores. So we can, you know, if your local organic supermarket, if they know the farms and the production line that they use, we can even go further like that. So we can offer a whole range.
Oh, and be even more accurate.
Exactly. If you're a restaurant who's bringing out a new menu and you wanted, you know, really specific, you know, data to show off about them, we would be able to present that for you. And by having it on the app, it just lets people have a comparison between different stores rather than just getting that information one by one.
Great. That's so cool.
Yeah, thanks.
So what inspired you to set this up? Why NOM?
Yeah, I mean, I was working in sustainable PR. I'd worked in sustainable PR for a few years. And like I had done the PR for Sir David Attenborough and for, you know, Boat in the Boat phase. Yeah. So I met so many, that was kind of my first foot in the door with sustainable kind of careers. I met loads of people and I felt like there was a lot of conversation about sustainable food. And I was even being asked at work, you know, we research, you know, sustainable food tech companies. And I was just thinking like, oh, this is exactly what I could provide, you know, if I just took that leap and did it. I ended up obviously just taking a risk and just saying that I was going to start up and see if people reacted to it.
Nice. Very brave. So you're doing it full time at the moment?
No, so I'm not working full time on it at the moment. I'm still working another job. I work for another startup in Bristol called Bunk, and they're really successful, doing really great. So I work on this when I can at the moment in my free time. Yeah.
Cool. So why is this important to you?
Yeah, so NOM is important to me mainly because I found that getting into the sustainable sector without planning it has been really amazing and welcoming. But lots of my friends and lots of my family members still see it as such an exclusive space, and they don't really see that, you know, it's that whole sustainable eating is for, you know, a certain calibre of person, you know, a certain group of individuals. And so I found that was just, you know, to encourage people and to really fight this climate crisis, we're going to have to encourage the people who you know aren't already in the circles rather than concentrating on people that are. So I just was like, right, I feel like sustainable eating sounds really complicated and because it's just not spoken about to those group, you know, other groups enough, and it's just not made as easy and accessible.
And they feel like it's kind of an extreme thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. And people just see it as all the fight between, you know, veganism and vegetarianism or meat eaters, and actually it's so much more than that, you know. One of the main, like, preconceptions that I feel people have with sustainable food is that just because it's vegetarian or vegan that it's sustainable, rather than, you know, taking into consideration the other factors that actually have to do with it. You know, you can eat vegetables that are all imported from, you know, 1,000 miles away, but it doesn't, yeah. So it's interesting to, like, actually talk to people and see what people's knowledge is of that, really.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Because I often hear, like, it's better to eat local meat rather than vegetables from far away. But I've also heard the argument that actually it's better to eat vegetables from anywhere compared to meat that was from 1 mile down the road. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, I completely get that. I mean, this is why on NOM I've always just, like, you know, held the fact that I'm not promoting a certain diet. You know, we will still put on red meat burgers on the app, you know, it's just, we'll just show you the impact of that, so we're just giving you that choice. So I do agree with that. I mean, it's a difficult one, because obviously the overall, like, you know, carbon production and things from meat is obviously globally on mass a lot worse than harvesting a lot of vegetables. But I feel like that only makes difference on a mass statement. Like, I think basically, I don't know, I'm torn. The thing is, you can definitely eat meat sustainably. It's more the fact of, like, the mass way that we produce it, right? And globally.
Yeah, and the wasteful way.
Exactly,
as well.
Exactly. Whereas actually going to, you know, like, going and eating meat isn't the most unsustainable thing to do. So unfortunately, it's kind of a little bit of, like, if we can tackle it on a mass scale, you know, it could, you know, localized living and localized, you know, we've just proven in COVID that we can actually do localized living, like, whether or not it's for obviously a pandemic, and that was awful, but it did prove that, you know, we can live in small pockets, you know, not obviously in groups of six or whatever, but in towns, you know, and we could have periods of localized living over the year.
You don't have to travel everywhere all the time.
Exactly. And I think if we did that twice a year, you know, a month of localized living, think how much emissions we'd reduce.
Yeah, it would be massive. I feel like people were just going to be so pleased to be free and just go on holiday as much as they can, though.
I know. I'm hoping that'll just be like a phase, you know. Realistically, I mean, travel was going up and up and up, and maybe it still will. I just think that, I don't know, it needs to be focused on, like, you know, the silver lining of actually what we've achieved as a country, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And socially, getting to know the people around you more as well.
Exactly. I mean, that's how things like, you know, like Geeky and Olio people work, like the food swapping things. So, like,
yeah,
I know that one of the founders, she just started up a WhatsApp group on, like, her street to when she was starting the startup. And she just basically said, if you all put on this WhatsApp group and ingredients that are going off in your fridge, and we'll see actually how much it is swapped. And by the end of the week, like, 80% of the food that was put on that street's WhatsApp was all gone. So it's,
cool.
And that's just how she proved that, like, people do want this type of thing, you know?
Yeah, I tried using Olio and Oban, but no one else was on it.
That's the only thing.
Maybe more people get on it now.
Yeah, you've got to get a group of sustainable foodies. There's very few of us.
So what's unique about NOM?
Yeah, so NOM, to me, the thing that makes it unique is that it's the only, you know, there's no other, it's very disruptive to the recipe market. So there's no other recipe software out there that really filters by any kind of climate value, or tells you this, you know, tells you on the level that we do. So in terms of people looking for, you know, like, a host platform for sustainable eating, we're hoping to lead the way in that. We're hoping to, be at the forefront of that curve. You know, we're only going to eat more sustainably in the future. And so, that, you know, the market right now might be smaller, but it's only going to grow. And especially with younger generations, you know, like, that's something that they care about deeply.
Cool. So what are the next steps? Obviously, you're going to launch the app.
So next steps, I mean, we are producing the content right now for the launch. So we're going to get some of our 20 most bespoke recipes to start off the launch with. And I'm working, working with some great girls who are kind of helping with the recipe development. So I'm really excited for what's going to turn out. I'm sure I won't be the one doing the making or baking because I need it to look really nice. But yeah, that's exciting. Ready for our launch.
Oh, so you're adding your own recipes?
Yeah, so I mean, in the
so
in the future we're gonna have a wider range of generic recipes, but at the start, really for the launch, I wanted to have 20 or 30 core recipes that really reflected what Nom was and what it was to me as well. So I just think it adds a nice story as well to the launch.
That's really cool. I didn't realize you were doing that.
Yeah.
Nice. So it's been so cool to find out about the carbon footprint of your meals, and it's great to have an easy way to make more sustainable choices. So thanks so much for coming on the podcast. Hope you've had a great time, Heather.
Yes, thank you. It's been great. I'm going to use that game in future.
Didn't know if it would be a bit offensive.
Yeah, I literally love it.
Wow, that was really interesting. So is there any way, Ellie, that me or other listeners can find out some more information and maybe some more facts or advice on how we can go about to reduce our carbon footprint through our food?
Yes, definitely. You can follow Nom on Instagram, Nom with three M's, N-O-M-M-M underscore app, or you can go to their website and give them your thoughts and opinions.
Nice one, cool.
Thanks for listening. Tune in for more in 2 weeks' time. Bye.
Bye. I think it was awful.